Avos Perek Dalet Mishnah Chaf Hey 425. Now in some Mishnahs this is 420, and in those Mishnahs, the three Mishnahs which are called 425, 426, and 427 are all combined. And I think it's important to at least get a glimpse of what's coming ahead because these three Mishnahs are interrelated. So let me read all three Mishnahs, or it's called 420, and translate just so you see where we're going, and then I'll go back and I'll take apart each one separately. So the Mishnahs read as follows. Elisha ben Avuya Omer, Halomed Yeled, one who learns as a child, Lamahu Dome, what is he comparable to? Lidio Ksuva al Niyar Chadash, like ink written on new papyrus, like new paper. Vahalomed Zaken, and one who learns later in life as an older person. Lamahu Dome, what is he comparable to? Lidio Ksuva al Niyar Machuk, like ink that's been written on papyrus that's been rubbed out. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Ish Kfar HaBavli Omer. So this is the second Mishnah. Halomed min ha-ketanim, one who learns from young people. L'mahu dome, what's he comparable to? La'ochel anavim kehos, v'shose yain megito. Like one who eats unripe and therefore sort of very sour grapes. And he drinks wine from the gas, the vat where it's been collected after it's been pressed and waiting to sort of age. Valoin min hazakenim, and one who learns from older people. Lamahu doma, what's he comparable to? La'ochel anavim b'shulos, like one who eats ripe grapes. V'shose yain yashan, and drinks aged wine. And then the third Mishnah, if it's three separate Mishnahs, is Rebbe, or Rebbe Meir, depending on your girsa. Omer, al tistakel b'kankan. He says, no, don't look at the jug in which the wine is contained. Elam b'ma sheyeshbo, rather look what's inside the container. Yesh kankan chadash male yashan. There are some new containers that have aged wine. V'yashan, and some old containers, shefilu chadash emo. They don't even have fresh wine. They have nothing. They're empty on the inside. Yeah, those are the three Mishnahs. Now let's go back and do 425 on its own. Then we'll see how they interrelate. So you see the topic of this Mishnahs are about the virtues and shortcomings of youth and old age and how they compare one to the other. So now let's begin taking each Mishnah separately apart. First we have Elisha ben Avuya. So Elisha ben Avuya is one of the most complicated and tragic figures in the Mishnah. The most, I would say. He started out as one of the Gedolim. In fact, he was the Rebbe of Rebbe Meir, who, of course, is like sort of the backbone of the Mishnah. But Elisha ben Avuya, he already from the time he was born, his father had the wrong kind of agenda. It says it is a bris. And when he was young, he was sort of, you know, reading, you know, Greek philosophy under the table and in yeshiva. And then when he got older, he witnessed certain things which really, you know, traumatized him, including he saw the Torah says that there are two mitzvahs, which one is guaranteed or is promised by the Torah a long life. One is listening to one's parents, obeying one's parents, and one is chasing the mother bird, Shiloh Haken, from the tree before taking the eggs or the chicks. And he once saw a child be instructed by his father to do this mitzvah of Shiloh Haken, and he ended up falling out of the tree and dying. So notwithstanding the Torah's promises for long life, which Chazal understands to mean in the world to come, but he saw it in this world and he thought that was sort of unconscionable and he couldn't reconcile that. And a second story, kind of similar but different, is he was living in the time of the Hadrianic persecutions, and Chutzpah and Meturgamon, one of like the spokespersons, if you will, of the Torah, with had this very beautiful voice and very, you know, eloquent. So he was beheaded and his head rolled in the dirt and the tongue lolled out. And he was horrified to see someone so, you know, entrenched and committed to Torah end up dying so ignominiously, and that really also traumatized him. And finally, he was one of the four that went into the Pardes, Rabbi Kiva, Ben Zoma, Ben Azai, and Rabbi Elisha ben Avuya, who's referred to as Acher. I'll explain that in a moment. And he essentially was traumatized by what he saw there in the Pardes when he went to see the spiritual realm. And the message he got was that Elisha ben Avuya is not going to make it. He's not going to get into Olam Haba. And he ends up, for any of all those reasons, he ends up going to Tarbus Ra off the Derech. He's Machal Shabbos Farhesia. And really, he's kind of out. Now, He has the students, Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir never gives up on him. Rabbi Meir learns them to the end. Rabbi Meir essentially says that, as was described by someone else about Rabbi Meir, he found a pomegranate and he ate from the fruit and threw away the rind. He's, you know, Ochel took the good and got rid of the bad. And he was able to sort of not get infected or affected by Elisha ben Avuya. That there are a number of stories of Rabbi Meir trying to get him to come back to Yiddishkeit. Elisha ben Avuya says, it's true, tshuva always works, but there's one exception, and that's me. And Hashem will never accept me back for whatever reasons. And ultimately, on his deathbed, Rabbi Meir tries to get him to do tshuva. He doesn't say, he says it won't work, but then he dies essentially, crying. And Rabbi Meir interprets that to mean that he did tshuva at the last minute, and he did actually have a place in Olam Haba. Okay, that's the sad story of Elisha ben Avuya in short. Now, here he's saying that halomed yeled, if one learns as a child, presumably, there's a missing preposition there. So then, lemahu doma, what's he comparable to? Ledio ksuva al niyar chadash, like ink written on a fresh papyrus. Now, niyar, of course, in modern Hebrew means paper. But in the Roman period, they did not have paper. They had two options on which to write. They could either use parchment, what we'll call cloth, you know, like the Sefer Torah, or papyrus. Papyrus is like a reed that grows like from Egypt. It was essentially like flattened out into strips and dried out, and you could write on it. And that's what they did use. And there's papyrus scrolls that have been around for thousands of years that we've still found today. It definitely is good at retaining the information on it. So the point here is that Dio, don't think of it as like, you know, a Sharpie, you know, pen that goes, the ink is absorbed in. Dio, of course, sits on top of the paper or the cloth, as you've seen in the Sefer Torah and the like, or mezuzah. So the point is, if you use Dio on Nir Chadash, on a fresh, newly made, never used before papyrus scroll, so it is easy to write on, and it stays. It's very fast. It stays there forever. And that's the idea. When you're young, it's easy to get the information in. We're talking about memorization. So if you have to memorize, you know, thousands of Mishnayos, etc., when you're young, it's easy. You got to pack the kids in like an ox, says the Gemara. You got to almost like force feed them, get them to memorize, because it just goes in so easily. And it stays there. As Chazal emphasized, girse diankusa, what one memorizes and learns in his youth, it sort of stays there. It's very hard to get out. So again, fresh papyrus, easy to write on, and holds that writing well forever, essentially. And that's the idea. So when you're young, you can learn, and it's easy, and it stays. V'halomed zaken, l'mahu doma. Now, if one learns later in life, when he's old, so what's that comparable to? L'diok suv al niyar machuk. It's like ink written on papyrus that's been reused. Machuk means it's been scraped clean. So if you want to reuse papyrus a second time, you could. You basically just scrape off what's on the surface and try again. The problem is, A, when you scrape it off, so as you can imagine, it doesn't get white. It gets, you know, smudged and gray. And second of all, if you can imagine what's going on, like on a microscopic level, this is plant fiber. So it's got, like, you know, deep ridges and a lot of texture. So it's easy to write and it will hold. But if you scrape it clean, you're basically smoothing it out, losing that texture, which makes it much more difficult for it to hold on the ink. Think like wax paper, which is very smooth. So the wax paper doesn't hold anything, right? Just everything like kind of comes right off it. So the idea is, once you've scraped the papyrus to reuse it, yes, it can be reused, but A, it doesn't go easily because it's already been written on once before, and it doesn't stay very well because it's smushed, like it's flattened out. And that's the idea. When you're older, it's much harder to learn, and even if you do manage to get it in, it's harder to keep it there. So that's why one should spend his younger years learning as much as possible, because it's much harder when you're older, and what goes in there when you're young stays there. All that said, the Ruach Chaim Blazhner points out, of course, that doesn't mean if you're older you can't learn and it won't stay. It just means that it's harder. You got to use high quality ink, so to speak. You got to learn properly with an effort, and not as easy when you were young, but you certainly can learn, and you certainly must learn throughout your whole life.